This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. You know, this up again and down again on this weather is just about to get me down.
I know it. It's up and down and it's up and down. One day last week, we were like 70, but it was windy. And then we had all the, like, I think one gust last week on that day was, I think it got up to 68 miles an hour.
Nobody can drive down the road when it's 68 miles an hour.
No, that's not possible.
It'll be blowing cars and those big 18-wheelers off.
Yes, and I'll tell you the thing that got to me the most was I had just washed the car because I thought, this will be great. I've been waiting for some decent weather. It started to get warm. I went and washed the car, and then we had all that dust in the air with all that wind, and then we had a brief shower, and all it did is rain mud all over the freshly washed car.
I would have put it in the garage and just said, forget it, and I'm not even going to drive it.
Well, I thought it was too windy to go outside and mess with it, and so I didn't.
I wouldn't have either. I mean, when the wind gets to about 30, I am over it.
Yes.
I'm not even going out.
It's too much.
It is, and I don't want to go all over the road.
Mm-mm.
And maybe, you know, somebody might hit me.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. It's the other person.
That's right. Always watch for the other person.
Yeah.
Because we think they're not as good drivers as we are. In fact, most of them aren't.
That's true.
You know, and I saw a little man this week, and he was looking between the steering wheel to the window. He couldn't see over it,
really?
So he's looking through it.
Oh.
Now, does that scare you or not?
It scares me because it's a safety hazard.
It is a real safety hazard. He wasn't driving about 30, and we were all trying to get around him, get the heck out of his way. In case, you know, he had a real problem and stopped right there in the middle of the highway, and he was about to do it.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just not funny. It's not a good idea.
No, it's dangerous.
It is dangerous. And I like making money, but I don't like taking real risk on the highway.
Well, you always say there's a risk with everything, and that includes making money. It also includes probably a bigger risk going out on the road.
That's right. Getting out of the house every morning is a challenge.
Yeah.
Because we just never know who's out there.
You never
Maybe
know.
Some lady doing her makeup.
It could be. Or shaving.
That's right. And people do a lot of strange things going down the road.
Yes. I saw a man the other day. He was shaving. He had an electric razor. Shaving his beard
You're kidding. There
in the car. Nope. I saw it.
Well, let me tell you what happened to me years ago.
Yeah.
This is back when 35 wasn't real busy, you know, 10 or 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to the office, and I'm running late, and I don't have quite all my makeup on. I'm sitting there real fast, got the mirror down, and I'm finishing my makeup. And I get to the office, and my husband says, were you doing anything particular coming in this morning? Oh, no, dear, just driving down the road. He said, that's not what I heard. And somebody that knew me called him and said, your wife is driving down the road putting on makeup. I was caught so bad.
Ooh, you
and
got
he
busted.
Said, do you? Yeah, he was laughing. He said, do you know how dangerous that was? Oh, my gosh. I said, I'll never do it again. You know, never. Especially when somebody might see it, you
know. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
So the solution is to have blacked out windows so nobody can tell.
That's right. It would have helped.
Yes.
I had no idea anyone in the world knew me or saw me driving down the freeway doing that.
I know. It happens to me when I put my makeup on the freeway, too.
There you go. That ought to get people's attention this morning. Especially your wife. She'll go, what the heck?
Boy, I can't imagine how that conversation is going to go if somebody calls her and tells her that. Woo!
I wouldn't give much for your life.
No.
I just feel, maybe you better start praying right now.
It would change an awful lot of things real quick.
It would. I mean, I feel awful sorry for you. Oh, my goodness. We better give out the phone number. We better get serious.
Yeah, get serious here.
Yes. The phone number is 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to my favorite store, Ivy Cottage.
And you can always go to the website, which is AmericanFinancialMidland.com, and that's where you can find case studies. You can find the real hardcore data of what people are making from past investments. You can read testimonials and see what the experience is like, so you have an idea of what you're going to go through and how the whole process works. And so now that we are well into, I guess we're almost 2 weeks into the new year, as you go back and look at 2017, do you see, and I know it was a big year for making money. I know it was a lot of life insurance policies and investments came in early, which gave people a chance to make more because they reinvested quicker. Do you see that trend continuing through 2018?
I think it's going to be even better. We had at least, we went back, we're re-examining 2017. We had 40 people that had six policies mature for the year. That's a lot in 1 year.
It is a lot.
You know, I always think if you can get two, maybe three, it's a great year. But, you know, we've just had, you know, six and eight. A lot of people even had eight. But we had 40 that had six.
Wow.
And that's a really good return.
Yeah, it is.
So, and we're already getting a lot of bids in. We're bidding a lot of policies. We're closing quite a few. And for, you know, just the first week in January, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, especially because this is the time of year where sometimes these big companies come in and they bid on these life insurance policies. They squeeze other people out. They bid real hot and heavy the first, a couple months anyway of the year.
Yeah, at least the first 2 or 3 months, they're hot.
Yeah.
Because they've got, you know, every year that I've known, they've had at least $150 million to go in and buy policies.
Wow.
And it's a hedge fund.
Mm-hmm.
And hedge funds have more money than anybody. And they're not paying anything for that money, you know. It's cheap money, and they can do a lot of things with it.
Oh, yeah.
And they do. Let me mention that. They really do.
So how is it going this year? Are they bidding aggressive?
Yeah, but not like usual. We beat them this week on a bid.
Really?
On $1 million, yeah. We outbid them on $1 million policy, and I was shocked.
Is it just because they're not bidding aggressively, or is it because you're bidding more?
Well, they must not have been, because they only made one bid on it. And usually they'll do two or three. And they didn't. And when they called and said, you got the bid, I was really thankful. And I said, my goodness, I'm shocked, because usually they'll just outbid us, you know, left and right.
Yeah.
And they didn't this time. And I don't know why, but they didn't.
Does that send a
message? But I'm very glad we got it. We needed that $1 million policy.
Oh, yeah. That's a great great way to start out the year. That doesn't happen very often in January.
No. Usually we're just fighting and fighting. And we got some small policies this week besides that $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, the $1 million was the one we were really after. And we're closing on another $1 million next week. So, you know, we'll have several $1 million for this month.
Does it send a message?
Which will help.
When you're able to outbid a company like that, do you see maybe, does that indicate something in the market or different trends or a shift?
Well, I don't really know. I mean, we don't know how to read them. And about the time we think we've got them figured out, they'll change.
Ah.
They just don't stay the same all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Well,
they do not.
So the point is that it doesn't happen very often that in January you get $1 million policy. And so if somebody hasn't started the process of getting involved, this is the time to do it, because things are happening real quick, real early.
That's right. And, you know, people right now, their wages are going up. The oil business is changing. You know, oil is $63 this week.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody says it is definitely going to 80, and I believe them now.
Yeah.
It's going to be a really good business this year for oil and everything connected to it. So that'll include us. We'll probably have more people retire like we did last year, and they'll be buying houses, you know, like I said, Granbury, down at the lakes, you know, toward Austin. Some of them moving to the hill country. They're just moving all kinds of places to retire. And, of course, we'll still handle their money, you know. We'll still try to keep that interest flowing all the time. So that part won't change. The part that's going to change is they're going to have a good time.
Yeah, and that's what's important.
I mean, you know, they're not going to be working every day.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of them in the oil business work a lot of hours.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, some days they work 12, 14 hours in one day.
It is. It's a lot.
It's a lot, and sometimes it's like it is right now. It's cold out. You know, it's not great weather to be out there working.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, after you've worked for 30 or 40 years for the same company, or maybe different companies, you're a little bit tired of them.
Oh, sure.
And the other thing is they're hiring a lot of young people, and these guys don't want to listen to them. You know, these are professionals.
Yeah.
You know? And they sure don't want to have someone 27 years old telling them what to do.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And they don't want to train them either.
So, yeah, that's true. So when you have a situation like this, do you see more people retiring, maybe speeding up their timeline, maybe retiring a little bit earlier when things start out this hot at the beginning of the year?
Well, I think they just kind of talk to their wives and they say, you know, let's plan ahead, let's retire, and let's say April, we'll plan for it, or May, or at the end of the year. I know most of these people give me warning. They'll come in and talk to me and say, Faye, you know, I'm at the age where I don't want to work this many hours. I don't want to work for these people.
Mm-hmm.
And so they'll say, you know, we're looking around for a home, a vacation-type home usually, you know, where there's golf and boating and fun things.
Yeah.
That's what they're interested in. So we start planning with them, you know, months before they retire. They don't just walk in and say, I'm going to retire next week.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's always kind of hard to do.
And that's really the whole point is the planning process. And so the early you can start planning, the better of a like a trajectory you need to put people on. So if they want to retire in 10 years, they need to be a little bit more aggressive than somebody who wants to retire in 15 or 20.
That's right. And then we have people that say, Faye, we're going to retire in 2 years. I've got some people right now. And they're saying to me, Faye, we're retiring in 2 years.
Mm-hmm. And then you say,
so, and I say, if you're retiring in 2 years, we need to be a little more aggressive and get this done.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we may be doing more policies. And lots of times before they retire, they say, I've got another, you know, 401k I'm bringing you. Let's get it in there and you know, hit it real hard the next few years. And we'll do that.
Mm-hmm.
So it depends, you know, how much extra they're going to put in, or if we're going to go with just what they've got. They may have $400,000 with us, $500,000, or they may not have but three. And then some of them have got, you know, a couple million. So, you know, we're working with what we have and trying to hit it hard and make it really work.
Okay. So for somebody who's, say, in their mid-40s or even 50, and they want to retire in 15 years, say, there is time to plan. Because I know a lot of people, I hear from people all the time that say, oh, geez, you know, I'm in my 40s. I'm near 50. I waited too long. It's too late for me. I'm just going to work until I fall over. That's not the case.
No, we don't want anyone to work until they fall over. We want to get them in and out of the workforce before they get so tired, you know, that they're not going to have any fun.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, everybody needs to go and live a little, you know, once they retire. I mean, I've got people right now, they're having a darn good time.
Oh, yeah. What are they doing?
Well, a lot of them have been everywhere. They've been to Europe. They've been all over the United States. They've been to New England. You know, they took their grandchildren to Disneyland. Most of my retirees have taken their grandchildren to Disneyland as soon as they retired. That was pretty neat.
Oh, wow, that is neat. So that's like the first thing that a lot of people do.
They do because they've always wanted to go with their grandchildren. They never could because they couldn't get the time.
Mm-hmm.
And now they've got, you know, they can go and spend a week or 2 weeks at Disneyland.
Sure.
And I know several people that either rented a big RV or they bought one for $150,000.
And paid cash.
To take the whole family.
Mm-hmm.
And go to Disneyland. That's pretty neat.
That is pretty cool.
It is. I think it's really cool. And we've got several people that have got a lot of children.
Mm-hmm.
Then I've got one couple that have the young kids, and then they've got their children that are in their 20s.
Oh, wow.
And that's tough when you've got little ones and you've got kids in their 20s.
Yeah, yeah.
Finding something that everybody's going to like is not always easy.
Yeah. Because there's probably
because of the age difference.
An awful lot of bickering going on in there.
Well, you have to work at it. Let's put it that way.
That's very optimistic. You have to work
at it. I am. Oh, my gosh.
But you got to plan for all these things. You don't just, like you said, you don't just come in and say, hey, I'm retiring next week and I'm going to do all this stuff. Well, maybe you are, maybe you aren't. But you have to get planned and you have to get started. What is one of the things that people say? Do people fear the is this one of the reasons people put it off is because they're afraid that they won't be able to retire, or maybe they don't have enough, or they can't get invested, or, you know, they can't grow their money enough to retire when they want to. Is there a fear factor in there anywhere from what you hear from people?
Well, I think people want to be sure they're going to have enough. They don't want to come up short, and they're going to come in and ask me, how much do you think it's going to take? And then we go over the facts. You know, how much a year are you going to need in interest to live on?
Yeah.
And if we can make enough that they can live on the interest and not getting their principal, they've got it made.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got to work at it every year and have money coming in all the time in order for them to live comfortably like they're living now and have that interest coming in the rest of their life. And I've got some people been with me 4 or 5 years. We have never touched their principal.
Really?
They retired, and we've always had enough coming in that they have never had to touch their retirement.
Because I know some people won't go to the doctor because they don't want to know if they're sick. They just don't want to know. And so I wasn't sure if maybe people were afraid that they weren't going to be able to grow enough or they waited too late. So when it comes to growing your money, I think some people may get concerned that when that paycheck stops and they no longer have income from some other place, then all of a sudden they've jumped off that cliff and there's no safety net. But with an alternate investment like this, the idea is that after you retire, you still invest your money. And like you say, you know, you still have your principal and you can take that interest or you can take that profit or however you set it up, reinvest it. And so you're still having profit coming in even after you retire.
That's right. For the rest of your life, you'll always have income.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really important. They need income. You don't want to just take what you've got now and start drawing on that. If you do, you know, it's going to take a lot of money. But if you keep investing, you've got income coming in every year, you'll always have enough because your interest is going to come to you, you know, like every 18 to 24 months.
Yeah.
And like the people this year. They had 7 and 8 policies.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a pretty darn good income this year.
Yeah.
You know, we had several people made $300,000 or $400,000. And, of course, it depends how much you had invested. You know, if you had $50,000 in every policy or if you had $150,000. So we had some people that made a lot of money. And they're going to pay tax this year because some of them did not have an IRA.
Mm-hmm.
But all the ones that had an IRA, that money's going to grow more because you didn't have to pay tax. It was all tax deferred this year. And then by the time they get ready to retire, you don't have to take it out till 70 and a half. So you'll be in a lower tax bracket, and, you know, it's going to help you a lot.
Mm-hmm. Do you find when people come in, because I know people have different areas of expertise, and I know some people don't have a firm understanding of how the process works. Others are very well schooled in investing and growing and retirement and all that. So I know that the skill level and the knowledge level varies greatly among people. But do you find a lot of people come in and they're misunderstanding how it works and they say, okay, my goal was to grow my money before I retire. I stockpile this account. And then when I retire, all my income stops and I just start bleeding the account and just start just draining it dry. And when it's gone, and that's it.
No, they ask me. They always ask, how's this going to work? If I go ahead and retire, how will my income come in? That's when I explain to them. The income will go right on, even though you've retired. So they'll be in better shape than they are now. Because none of them want to leave it in the stock market when they retire.
Oh, gosh, no.
You know, we know the stock market's up. We know it's been doing very, very well in 17. But a lot of the gurus are still saying, you better hold on to your, your socks.
Yeah. Well, it's got to be kind of a strange thing when you think, my goodness, all of my retirement and what I can do in my freedom depends on something that I have no control over, like the stock market, because anything can control that. We know how unstable the world is right now. Anything can affect it. And we've seen it grow and grow and grow, and it's had record growth over the last several months. But at any time, we could have a 2008 come back, and then overnight, people could lose everything, and then people have to go back to work, and then they panic, and then all kinds of things happen. And it has to be a little bit, I would think, comforting to know that in an alternate investment, like investing in a life insurance policy, has to be a little bit easier on the nerves.
Well, I think so too. And like people say, when they know what they're going to make, they feel better. And a life insurance policy is so different than the stock market. Mm-hmm. You know what you're going to make. You know the bank is going to do the payout. You know the bank pays the premiums. They know that I never touch their money. And I think that's why we've been in business so long. We don't touch people's money. The bank holds it. The bank takes care of it. And then we have 21st Services that tracks the policy. They know when the people pass away. And they usually know it within 2 or 3 days, which does help a lot.
Yeah.
So we've got it set up where it should work pretty seamless. And, right now we've got 15 policies that are paying out that we've been talking about them, maturing, and now those are all being put in the bank.
Mm-hmm. Do you have people that come in and have told you all kinds of horror stories? I'm sure you've heard at least a handful of people who have come to see you. They're interested in investing in a life insurance policy because their broker was irresponsible, made bad investments. They didn't even know what their money was being invested in because their broker, they can do anything they want to with it. And then all of a sudden they get a report and says, oh, by the way, you have $200,000 less than you did a year ago.
Yes, because a lot of people don't check it all the time. They should check their statements every month. Mm-hmm. Now, some people check them every day. They're in such a panic. Mm-hmm. But we've had that happen. I know in 15 and 16, we were reading in a paper every once in a while about some broker that got this bright idea to take their money. It doesn't happen very often, but, we had the guy out of Lubbock. He went in on all these dormant accounts and took a little out of this one, a little out of this one, and finally they caught him. And he had taken $12 million
wow.
from people. And, of course, the brokerage houses rely. They're liable for all that.
Yeah.
If you let somebody steal their money, and I don't know how they settled it, but it was a pretty bad situation.
Wow. And that's got to be scary for the actual investor to know that all of a sudden their money is gone.
Yeah, and to know that somebody can make a decision without telling you.
Yeah.
They can just decide to do it. Let's say you have blue chips, and they say, I think we'll put them in penny stocks.
Yeah.
And we had that happen to a lady years ago. Her husband left her all this oil stock, left her well fixed, and the broker decided to change it, all the Exxon and all this Texaco stock. He put it in penny stocks. And she had to go back to work.
Really?
Yeah.
How old was she?
And she was 65 when it happened.
So she had to go back to work at 60. She had to return to the working force at about the time she should have been retiring.
That's right.
Wow.
And they said she couldn't sue them. That she had to go to arbitration. And that is so bad. It's really bad.
It takes time. It's expensive. And you may not even get all your money back.
That's right. And you may be working for a long time.
Wow. And that's not something that you should face when you're getting into your mid-60s and close to 70.
That's right. It's not a fun thing.
But
so anyway, I think that if they've got part or all of their money, in a life settlement that's managed by the bank that we never touch, I think, it's got just a real good safety factor there.
Yeah, and this is there's good news because investing in a life insurance policy like this is totally separate of the stock market. It's totally separate of worldly events. You don't have to worry about what's going on in North Korea or Russia or any other place in the world. You don't have to worry about, you know, any broker doing something irresponsible with your money because you know what you're investing in. And basically, and I know this is oversimplified, but the process is you invest, you set it, and forget it.
That's right. And then we send an email out every time you have a policy mature. In fact, on the Estes policy, there was three of those, I believe. You know, it ran over. I believe it went over 6 months. Anyway, people were asking me about Mr. Estes. So we found out that he was really, really, you know, had maybe a month left. And on a Friday, we sent out a message to everybody and said, you know, Mr. Estes is very ill. You know, they give him less than a month. And the next Monday, Mr. Estes had passed away.
Oh, wow.
And so, you know, we were right on it all the way, where the client would know, you know, what the situation was and where they, you know, wouldn't be worried about him. Because they were getting kind of worried because they thought Mr. Estes was going to come in on time.
Yeah.
And he went 6 months over, but then hey, it was fast. I mean, from Friday till Monday, and he passed away.
Wow.
So, you know, but we're on top of it. Century 21's on top of it, and we know, you know, just about all the time what the situation is on a policy.
And when a policy does mature, it's a very quick turnaround between the time that the policy matures and the money ends up in the investor's account.
It is. It's about 6 weeks, because first we get the certified death certificate. It goes to the carrier. Then the carrier turns around and just sends a check to the bank. Mm-hmm. Then the bank disperses all the money on that policy. And then we email them and say, okay, the money came into the bank, let's say, on Monday. They say they will pay you on Thursday.
Wow.
So we let everybody know that the money is there.
Holy smokes.
In their account.
Wow, that's amazing. And so then at that point, most people, I would assume, take their profit, turn around, reinvest it, and that's how the money keeps growing, and that's how this turns into a retirement plan, is that this happens over years, and it could be 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. Obviously, the earlier, the better, but that's how this whole thing works, and that's how the big picture happens. And it doesn't involve being up all night worrying about what's happening in the stock market. So for somebody who is investing right now, in the land of doom and gloom, and they're up every night checking their account, and they're panicking, and they're worried, and they're thinking, oh my gosh, I want to retire in 2 years, and you know, in a day or two, or whenever the stock market may crash again, I may have to go back to work, I lose everything, my retirement is gone, I have to start all over. If somebody's going through that, explain, maybe in a simplified version, but explain how investing in an alternate investment like a life insurance policy is so much different.
Well, it is so different because every time you go into a policy, you know how many months it's going to be, you know what you're going to make, you know what percentage, you know if it goes over what it's going to cost you, what percentage, and you know what the face amount is, and you know that's what you're going to get paid is your percentage of that face amount.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's like, knowing everything's going to happen on your retirement. You know, you're not having to wait. And you always know everything about the policy. You know how sick they are. You know what kind of cancer it is. We do all this in advance for you.
So this is an opportunity to invest in a life insurance policy. And the way that this works is basically a person who has a fairly large, usually, life insurance policy is diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. And those are the only types of policies you're looking for, by the way.
That's right. We like to do cancer because they're fast, the turnaround is fast, and that's what people want. You know, they want something that's going to turn around, you know, in like 30 months, 25 months. And, you know, we have a lot of 30 months that come in at 12 or 18 months. So I think they're a good policy. The 12-month, the 6 months, those come in really fast. The one that the man died the other day, you know, it was a 6-month policy. He didn't even last 6 months.
Yeah.
And that's what happens. They need the money now. They've got to make some decisions about their life, and they want to get all the estate planning done now because they don't have a very long time to do it in.
Yeah. And there's two reasons why, there are two main reasons why people will go ahead and sell their life insurance policy. One, like you say, to go ahead and settle the estate, you know, because we all know that when somebody passes away, oftentimes people will come out of the woodwork. Wills will be contested. Families will argue and break up. Lawsuits will ensue. And there'll be chaos everywhere within the family. And to avoid that, people just want to go ahead and settle everything, disperse everything, and everybody leaves and everybody parts as friends. The other reason is because cancer treatment, somebody who's diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, that's very expensive to treat.
It is. I mean, it's about $10,000 or more per month. Cancer is just, they try so many things. Lots of times they're doing radiation, they're doing chemo at the same time, and usually it's at big cancer centers, and that's why it is so expensive. Mm-hmm. And lots of times if you're from out of town, you know, and you go to one, you know, you've got all the added expense to pay for your loved ones while they're there. Now, some of them have facilities for you, like apartments and things, but not all of them do.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's just they have to have the money, and the only way they can get it lots of times, as I said, is to sell their life insurance policy to get the money.
Yeah, so they sell their policy, they get the quick cash, and they go about their business. And then at that point, now you've got this policy, and for you at that point, because obviously we want everybody who's diagnosed with cancer, it's a very serious disease, it's a very devastating diagnosis, not only for the patient, but for the families as well. We obviously root for them to survive. But once they've made the determination that, hey, we're at a point here, we need to make some serious decisions, we're going to go ahead and sell the policy, for that to happen, it now becomes a business transaction for you. And now you've got this policy, and you need to do something with it.
Right. And so then they contact a broker. All of them use a broker. I wish they didn't. I wish they would just come straight in. But they use a broker. And then we, of course, have to use a licensed provider to buy the policies, you know, and when we do, we've got that broker and the provider that we have to go through. So, you know, we have to wait for the their broker to make a decision. The broker always wants more money. And by the time you go through all that, it has slowed the process down for the person with cancer, okay?
Exactly, yeah. So you've got you're bidding against these policies against other companies, and if you go ahead and get it, you're awarded with the policy. This is an opportunity for people to invest, and what they do, excuse me, is they invest in these policies, and then once the policy matures, that's when they get paid. It's very simple.
It is simple, and I like the way it works. I like knowing up front what you're going to make.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's the best of all worlds, and then you know that it's a life insurance policy. You know that the life insurance company will pay off. They're going to pay you. They're huge. They're worth billions. So you don't have to be worried about getting paid. And then the bank, who's very reliable, does the payout from the insurance company.
Mm-hmm. So it all seems very simple, and you know, there's really no worries involved, but there's got to be some kind of a downside. So what are the risks?
There's always risk. Anybody tells you there's no risk, it's not telling the truth. The biggest risk is the premium. If it goes over and doesn't come in on time, you have to pay your share. And it could be $500, it could be $1,000 a year. So that's why we want people that are accredited investors. We know they could pay $1,000 a year if they had to, or $500. And, you know, we don't want to take in someone that says, oh, my gosh, you know, I need my money back. I've got an emergency. Yeah, you know, and so we don't do that. We want all accredited investors where they can afford the premium and won't be worried.
Mm-hmm.
And also that if it's delayed a year, they can afford the delay.
Yeah.
You know, it won't hurt them if it goes over a year. So that is your first number one risk right there. The second one is the money is tied up during that time. And if you can't afford to have your money tied up for 2 years, you should not do it at all. Go home, put it under the mattress. And because you're going to need it, you just need to reach out and get it every once in a while. But That is the second risk. Is during that time, it is in a policy. You've bought your share of that policy, so you can't get cash back until they mature, till they pass away.
What if a life insurance policy goes under?
Well, we have never had that happen.
Company.
A life insurance company.
Yeah.
They would have to wait for somebody to buy the company, which that happens up in the north every once in a while, maybe once every 10 years.
But that has never happened in Texas.
No, it's not happening in Texas.
So the risks
are our companies are worth billions, and they pay their claims.
Wow. Well, it seems like a win-win situation, really, for everybody. The policy holder that needs to sell the policy, it's a win-win for the investor, and it's a win-win for you. So it seems like a very straightforward, simple, relaxing type of process.
I think it is, because once they understand how it works and they're not scared to death that the policy hadn't come in, once they realize it is going to come in, you are going to get paid, you will get your money, and they relax, it works out very well. Because we've had more policies come mature this year than ever before. I lost count somewhere in November as to how many we had.
Wow.
Because we had three in December.
Mm-hmm. And then one of them was a really big one, wasn't it?
I can't even remember the amounts on them.
I don't
know.
But
either. I know there was three in December.
I can't
which
remember.
We were not expecting at all.
Yeah, because I remember, you know, we were talking about the Christmas break, and then you know, we were talking a week or two ago, and you had said, my goodness, we were all on break, and then, you know, these policies matured, and we had to go in and do these things, and we were talking about what a unique situation that was, because here we are at the end of the year, and you had some last-minute maturities, which meant more money for more investors.
That's right. So everybody made a lot of extra money right there at the end of the year, which was great.
Yeah. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. The phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330.
And you're at 3105 Big Spring in Midland. You can go by. Don't just drop in. Make an appointment because Faye is very, very busy and she has a lot of things going on. She wants to make sure that she gives you the time that you need to go over any questions you need, go over policies, go over all this information. But if you drop in, it's probably not going to happen. So go ahead and make an appointment. The website, of course, is AmericanFinancialMidland.com. And every Saturday morning, around this time, we start getting into trivia. And you always bring something unique and fun, whether it's a place to go or something to put on our bucket list or unique fact about something to do with Texas. So what are we talking about today?
Well, I decided because we've had such cold weather, it's been really cold, and I've been sitting in the fireplace a lot, you know?
Ah.
And I love a fireplace in winter. So I got to thinking about Bluebell ice cream.
Ah.
Yes. And I said, yeah, that's what we need to talk about. Let's talk about ice cream at Brennan, Texas.
My favorite.
Yeah, my favorite, too. You know, they started in 1907.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. They've been in business so long. And when the company started, they were doing ice cream and butter.
Really?
Yes. In about the mid-20th century, they abandoned the butter and expanded just to the entire state just with ice cream. They're still located as the Little Creamery in Brennan. And since 1919, it's been in the hands of the Cross family. Even though a limited number of states... it started out, you know. It's the fourth highest selling ice cream in the United States.
Really?
Mr. Krause was 23 years old when the company said, you know, we're in financial trouble, we're about to close, and the board of directors hired him. He was just 23 years old, and he was a school teacher.
Really?
And they hired him to take over the company in 1919. And, of course, you know, they purchased cream from all the local dairy farmers, and, you know, that's how it started out. And he said, well, I'm not going to take a salary because y'all are about to go under anyway. And so he got it back on track. And the company expanded to around Brenham and soon became profitable. And then he said, well, let's rename it. Let's name it Bluebell Creameries after the Texas Bluebells. And so that sounded like a good idea. Then in 1936, they were making ice cream with a batch. They would create like a 10-gallon batch of ice cream every 20 minutes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So then they said, you know, we need to purchase a machine that will give us continuous ice cream. So it would make 80 gallons every hour.
Oh, wow.
80 gallons. Then 300 gallons. And it would run through a little spigot. And you could pour it in any size container then. So that's how they got the pints and all this other. Well, Mr. Krause in 1951 got cancer. He lasted 8 weeks. And so then his sons took over, Ed and Howard. And by the 1960s, they had abandoned the products of the butter. You know, they didn't need that butter. All they needed to do was sell an ice cream. So then they said, well, we're going to sell in Houston. Then they included all of Texas, including Dallas and Fort Worth. And by the end of the 70s, the sales had quadrupled.
Oh.
And by 1990, they were selling, listen to this, 10 million gallons of ice cream a year.
Are you serious? 10 million?
10 million.
Wow.
Then they said, well, let's sell some in Oklahoma. So in the 1990s, they expanded. And then they said, let's go into South Central and the Southern United States and out to New Orleans and Mississippi. And so then they put in 1992, they put that facility in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. Then 4 years later, they put one in Alabama and eventually in Atlanta and Miami. Yes, and it was all word of mouth.
Really?
Can you believe that?
Wow, that's cool.
So they were doing a slow expansion. And they were doing new research, new markets, and all the employees expanded, as I said, into these different areas. And the drivers always take it into the store to make sure that it's in the cooler right and that it's going to be okay. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
And then, of course, as you know, in 2015, they got in trouble, had to make all those recalls, and it almost ruined the company. I mean, they had to shut down all those production places in Oklahoma and Alabama, and they reduced down to 16 states. And they had just very limited distribution during that time because they were trying to clean up that mess that somebody had caused. There was 50 sales and distribution centers spread throughout the 23-state market. So they had 2,800 employees. Can
wow.
you believe that?
That's amazing.
In 2006, what do you think their annual sales were?
$10 million.
$400 million.
Holy smokes!
You're so far away.
What? Wasn't even close.
And they say the milk is so fresh, it was grass yesterday.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. They have 60,000 cows every day, their milk that goes to them.
Wow.
It's always less than 24 hours old. Can you believe this?
I can taste it. Yeah, I can because, I mean, these little things, you know, when they pay attention to that much detail with the quality, I can believe it because it comes through.
Okay, how many flavors do you think there are?
24.
66 flavors.
That's what I meant.
And 20 are offered year-round.
Uh-huh.
2 to 3 dozen are only offered seasonally. But they also make yogurt, sherbet, and a lot of frozen treats on a stick. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yes, most people don't. Because we're all interested in a half gallon.
Sure we are.
Have you ever bought Blue Bell in less than a half gallon?
I didn't even know it was even possible.
I didn't either. Because I wouldn't do it. I need that half gallon. It just amazes me. In 1969 is when they produced the cookies and cream one. Remember that one?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Now it makes its own cookies. Used to, when it started that, they were using Nabisco's Oreo cookies.
Really? And they make their own?
Then they decided to make their own cookies.
Oh, wow.
But they say the homemade vanilla is still the best-selling ice cream in the United States.
And that is my favorite, too.
It is mine, too. I just need the one that's sugar-free, and it's hard to get.
Oh, yeah. It's still delicious. But even once in a while, when I want to get crazy and go off my diet and cheat real bad, that's where I'm going. Because, for one, ice cream is my favorite. I've always loved ice cream. But I remember the first time I had a taste of Blue Bell, it was like something completely different. It took me back to my childhood when we used to make ice cream ourselves.
That's right. That's how good it is. And over the years, if I gave a party, they always wanted Blue Bell with everything, you know?
Yeah. Oh,
that was it. Nobody ever asked for a different brand.
Mm-mm. Oh, no. And if there is a different brand, you almost kind of snub your nose at it and think, maybe I'll just skip it.
That I would skip it because the flavor is so different. It's
uh-huh.
just not as good.
Yeah.
Blue Bell's just the best. And I know a lot of people eat all the different kinds, but I've always been just vanilla. Don't give me anything but vanilla.
Yeah. I was real concerned. You know, you mentioned the little situation with, having to clean up a lot of the factories and the recalls. I was really concerned that was really going to make them close the doors. And I'm so glad that they cleaned up the situation and they got through it. And Blue Bell is back and stronger than ever.
Yes, it is stronger than ever. But, you know, they showed the pictures, if you remember. I don't know if you remember the pictures they showed. And the equipment had gotten old. It wasn't being properly serviced. And there were some employees that just really let them down.
Wow.
You know, they just didn't keep it clean. And that's how those germs got in there.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they got new equipment. I understand they let some people go that caused this, because it caused millions and millions of dollars and losses, you know, to that company.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But they're
probably
so strong that they held on.
Yeah, there must be some kind of like policy or revisions that they've done as they've gone through this too. So hopefully, it won't happen again.
I don't think it will, because I think everything. I believe all the equipment now is new because they had it inspected.
Yeah.
And I think the inspectors lived with them there for a while, yeah, just to get them through this, you know. And what was bad, you know, all the employees, especially in Brenham, they had to let them furlough them. They furloughed lots and lots of employees
mm-hmm. yeah,
until this was over.
Well, they get everything switched out.
But the town was behind them 100,000%.
Wow.
And they said, we're backing them all the way.
Well, that's great.
It was, because they've been there 1907.
Yeah.
If you've been there that long, you know, and you've been eating their ice cream, you don't want them to go away.
Oh, no. No, and I imagine that's probably the life and blood of the entire community.
It is. The tourists come to go through it. They come to get a little bit of ice cream from the plant. And it's a tourist town for Blue Bell.
Well, now I want some ice cream.
That's right. And it's time to have ice cream to anchor with anything else.
Yeah, and I don't care how cold it is outside, I'll still have some if it's Blue Bell.
That's right. All you do is just get the ice cream and go sit in front of the fireplace.
Oh, brilliant. You've got it all worked out.
I've got it all worked out. That's what I care about, fireplace and Blue Bell.
Anything else can go to the wayside.
That's right. I know the important things of life, okay?
Yeah. You got your priorities in order.
That's right. I'm trying to get them straight.
Oh, that's great. I'm so glad you brought up Blue Bell because, oh, man, that is my favorite, and I'm sure it's a favorite of many, many people, too.
Yes, I think so, too.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. The phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330, and we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
So for somebody who has never done any kind of investing at all, even if it's not in the stock market, they've done no investing at all, what would you tell somebody like that? Hey, don't be intimidated by the process. Don't worry. Get started. What would you say to somebody?
Yes, I would say, come in, talk to us. Let us walk you through what the risks are, what the rewards are, and how it works.
And it's also,
if you like it, we'll do business.
It's important to note that it's not too late, unless you're like 70 or 80 or 90. It's not too late to get started.
That's right. And like I said, we have a lady. Well, we have two. They're in their 80s. And I told them when they came in, your children have to be on the documents with you. They've got to be doing this because they're the ones going to make the decisions, because this person would not be able to, in my opinion.
So they were in their 80s when they started investing?
Yes.
Really?
They sold their land and had a lot of money, $3 million. And the daughter came to me and said, would you help us?
Wow.
So we work really with the daughter.
Wow, that's really great to know. It's very optimistic. So when somebody comes to you and they say, you know, for the first time, and they're learning how the process works, and they want to retire in whenever they want to retire, in 10 years or whatever, and then they go ahead and they get to that point and they retire, do they embrace the concept of investing in life insurance policies where you go ahead and retire, your income ends, but you're reinvesting your profits, and therefore...
Well, the income doesn't quit because they have income from us.
Right. And that's,
so it's just switching from one hand to the other.
Exactly, because I would imagine that a lot of people, when their paycheck stops, they panic. But with this, your income ends, but you're still reinvesting, and so you're still growing your money, even though you're not getting a quote-unquote paycheck.
That's right. So they've still got their income coming along, and you know, they can take it out monthly, annually, however they want to.
Mm-hmm. And I would imagine it's kind of like getting up on a tree and walking out on a branch. You know, the last thing you want to do is walk out on that branch, go ahead and retire, you get your safety net, your income, your paycheck out of the way, you're no longer getting that. But if you're in the stock market and that branch breaks, all of a sudden, the whole bottom can fall out. You lose everything. You lose your retirement. You have to go back to work. But in an investment in like a life insurance policy, that's not going to happen.
No, you won't have to go back to work. You'll still get your income all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And as they come due, you get paid every time.
Yeah.
And the bank pays you. That's what makes the safety feature. It's the bank that pays it. You don't have to worry about me. You have to worry about the bank paying you.
Excellent. So it's a win-win situation. So for somebody who wants to get started and is thinking, you know, maybe it is time I get out of the stock market, or maybe it is time I just start planning for retirement, you have to make that step because it does take some planning. What kinds of things should somebody do? I mean, if
well, they need to get their statements together, look what they've been making, look at what they make per year, what they want to make, what they're going to do with their life, and come over with their wife and talk to me.
Now, what if somebody's not accredited and can't do this particular program?
Well, they can do annuities. We have the other program. They can do annuities. And it's for people who are not accredited, or you could be accredited and do an annuity, either way.
So there are alternatives for just about anybody.
That's right. There's different ways to do it.
You have to get started. You have to make the phone call. You have to go in, sit down, understand what's happening, and then you can make a decision from there.
That's right.
All right. And you got appointments available for this coming week and the week after and after that, I assume, right?
That's right.
All right. So for somebody who wants to go ahead and make that appointment, Faye, one last time, what's the phone number?
877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring. Right next to Ivy Cottage.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.